Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Happy Saturday to you, my favorite time during the week. Here we go. This is a big one. Welcome to the new website. A long, long time in coming. If you're new to the show and just listening for the first time, please get to the website, straighttalk.cc. That's straighttalk.cc, not .com. That's two T's. A new website. New communication tool, I think more evolved than before, for you. My mission to you is to get you to understand why you suffer. I had an opportunity to go to medical school years ago. I reneged. It was not for lack of intelligence or lack of academic ability. There was something within myself at 17 years old that made me think that something was missing. Now, I was part of that generation that didn't think that way. Back when I was in college, Fordham University on the East Coast, a Jesuit school. Back then, very late 70s, very early 80s, medical school. Now, that was a life worth spent. No one argued with you when they found out you were a pre-med student. Everybody bowed and moved out of your way respectfully when you were the top of the class, which I certainly was at Fordham University. And in my third year, I began to feel empty. And until a good decade later, I found another way to approach the human body. That hole didn't get filled. And yet, as the story goes, I certainly bit off more than I could chew. Because despite going to chiropractic school, graduating in 1994 as the valedictorian of my class, despite that, I was still left empty. I found, despite the good intention, an outstanding education I received at that chiropractic school. Despite that, I was left with superficial approaches. And I didn't see cure. It didn't stand up to what it promised. And when I went to acupuncture school on the East Coast, it didn't stand up to what it promised. And when I went to the other school, it didn't stand up to what it promised. And when I went to the other school, none of it stood up to what it promised. And yet, I couldn't get away. I couldn't pack up my bags, take my marbles, and go home, because within every one of those perspectives, from the nutritional perspective, to Chinese medicine, to yoga, to the different massage therapies, to the chiropractic manipulation, to osteopathic manipulation, to all the incredible gamut of techniques and philosophies, all pointed in the same direction to get you with your symptoms, with your pain, with your agony, with your anguish, with your betrayals, with your diseases, with that lousy feeling inside yourself after 50 years old that you have amounted to nothing. Despite all the angles on what to do about that essential problem and how it manifests as disease, chronic symptomology, I didn't see anybody batting the home run. And yet, everybody had something to say. So it became very clear to me that what we were missing was an integration. And all I have seen for the most part, and why I do this show, and why I put this website together, myself and my family here, is simply because we need a more coherent integration. It is with great pain and great joy. It is with great suffering at times, over 20 years, plus 20 years now, that I ask you, my radio listeners, the general public, to understand on an effective functional level what I'm talking about in these last 150 shows. And while we're making headway, it's not good enough. Now, I can't think that way, and we can't afford to look at it that way, and so in a sense, I don't. But we need a more refined perception of why you suffer. When I watch how you approach your health, when I watch how you present with your agendas, with your perceptions of what you need to do, and how you draw your conclusions, in other words, how you invest your medical money, I don't know what to say. I would not want to be you in this day and age without understanding how to approach my health. I don't know how you do it. And yet, the degree of sometimes even what you'd call arrogance, the paddening, the depth of the poison, what you have swallowed, you don't even see half the time. So as always, the answer is education. And I am not the first to get on this platform. And that's the website, and that's the show today. For as long as history records, people have joined together to give you a perspective on what to do about what you call your health, and to point out that to call it health, to call it medicine, and not to call it your connection to God is an oxymoron. It is a contradiction in terms. Just as we swear that it was virtuous to separate church and state, I will argue to you that it has been ineffective, dysfunctional, ultimately terminal to separate God and science. And yet there are reasons for this. And yet, for lack of integration, a synthesis between the two, we fail every single day. And I mean you. You fail. You live in pain. You spend more money than you're supposed to spend. You suffer more than you're supposed to suffer. Your dreams don't come true. And your children bear the burden of the things you have not achieved. And these things I see as a doctor play themselves out in families all the time. Why? Let's talk about a time when we had a better integration. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. You will not find a show like this on radio, or anywhere for that matter, as it relates to health. You may even think at times this is not a show about health. You may think at times this is not a show about science. That's because this show slips in between the cracks. Because that's where the poetry is, in between the cracks. It's not the brick, it's what the bricks are mended with. What we tie all the little pieces together. And that's where this show excels. It asks you to become a thinking organism. So if you're new to the show, welcome. Many of you are not new to the show. Again, pat yourself on the back. Take some sustenance in the next 54 minutes. Get to the website. It's much easier to navigate. Go to show 147 and look at that first picture there. Picture number one, there it is. Raphael, the 1500s, the School of Athens. The School of Athens. In that picture, we can't take the time to show you where, but center to the picture, those two guys in the middle, that's Plato and Aristotle. Now, this was painted around 1500. Raphael, the Renaissance, Florence, Michelangelo, Da Vinci. We'll talk about them. The perspective. what had arisen out of what all historians unanimously across the world call the Dark Ages of Europe. The Dark Ages. About 400, 500 A.D. up to the Renaissance. A good 1,000 years of mankind. Can you imagine that? It's 2014. How about 3014? How about 3014? 1,000 years of darkness. 500 A.D. to 1500 A.D. What historians unanimously call the Dark Ages. And out of it came this picture. Came this picture painted by Raphael, linked to many underground, somewhat conspiratorial views of the world. And I say, of course, poppycock to that. No. Da Vinci and Michelangelo and Bernini, just as Aristotle, Socrates, Pythagoras, were pushing the edges of that beautiful place where science meets the soul. Evolving the culture. Now, we look back on that and we say, but of course, that's why this unbelievably beautiful painting has survived so many hundreds of years. But back then, these men were outcasts until proven otherwise. You say the name Da Vinci, you say the name Michelangelo, you say the name Galileo, Tycho Brahe, you say the name Giordano Bruno, you say Johannes Kepler, you say these names and you bow in reverence, and yet these men were imprisoned. They were executed. They were thrown off cliffs. They were ostracized. Society turned against them. Do you understand this is happening now to you? To you, sitting there. Because deep down inside, many of you are miserable because you suffer. Because you're drinking lies. And your lies you're drinking are about your health. These men existed to give you a light. Plato, Aristotle, there's Pythagoras, there's Hypatia. She was the guardian of the Library of Alexandria. Plotinus, Ptolemy, Euclid, Diogenes, Alexander. And we're not going to go into the picture, but what Raphael is depicting is a time period in human history that we would refer to as an age of enlightenment, an age some say we're approaching today. An age of enlightenment where mankind across the globe was attaining, beginning to move towards a higher consciousness. There is a higher consciousness in medicine. This show represents a beckon to you to understand that there's a higher consciousness in you, to let go of your ridiculous notions, to let go of the depth of the delusions you hold to about what it takes to heal. Everything from the herb cures the disease, to the allopath cures the disease, to fixing the symptom fixes the disease, to how you're going to get away when you're never going to get away with making fundamental root changes in your lifestyle. And that sometimes those changes, as it relates to the disease, proportional to the disease, proportional to the number of years you've had the symptoms, may be radical. You may need to pick up and move your place of dwelling. You may need to sever or drastically evolve your relationships. You may need to change your perceptions. You may need to change your professions. You must radically change your diets, radically shift the way in which you understand exercise. Radically change the way you think you're going to navigate your course. So the School of Athens, Raphael is saying the School of Athens was a school. There was no concept of creating a lifestyle without having a platform upon which people came to share. Intellects of high consciousness came to share. And these are the real schools of healing. There was no separation. That's an oxymoron. To call a doctor, without calling the doctor the teacher. If you trace the word back beyond its Latin roots, to be a doctor means to teach. So I ask you to be students. This is not a new concept. Just ask Raphael. Now, he's referring to a time period, a day and age, goes back to at least, we understand, 300 B.C., before the birth of Christ, even, Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. Shortly after Christ, Hypatia and the library at Alexandria. These institutions held the rules of engagement. They were functional mechanisms, functional. They understood the human body. They had achieved high levels of science. The Library of Alexandria. On the website, I have a beautiful picture of the Library of Alexandria. Go to picture number 11. Give yourself a moment. Look at that. Picture number 11, the Library of Alexandria. If you're driving, if you can't get to the website, when you go home, get to straighttalk.cc, not .com. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Get to that website. Listen to the show again. This will be my... This will be the show I offer to you. There's no charge for the show. You don't have to buy the archives. This is my icon. This is truly where it comes together for me and what I want to give to you. So, when you go home, get on the website and right on the first page where my welcome message is. This is my welcome message, the full 60-minute broadcast. Now look at that, the Library of Alexandria, the famous, the infamous Library of Alexandria. What was in that library went back well into the Old Testament, went back well into the beginning of recorded time. And what was there asked you to evolve a consciousness in relationship to what science does today, explore the human body in all its different philosophies, theologies, chemistries, and biochemistries and biophysics. It was a true synthesis of knowledge. It was a thinking organism. It wasn't a library with 1,500 different sections given to 1,500 non-communicating parts. It was one thinking, coherent organism, divined to the heavens, that respected the fact that the whole is greater than the sum of the parts, and that if you don't look at it like that and understand how to measure the evolution of that, you get nowhere. You get nowhere at the office with your boss. You get nowhere out in your church. You get nowhere with your health. You get nowhere in business. You get nowhere. This was a time when our functional methodology, the way people functioned, not the way they talked in church, not the way they talked in cafes, not the way they talked in philosophy class, but the way they actually lived was in accordance with the vibration of the earth. So the earth and the heavens were talking to us through our hypothalamic centers, our pineal centers, our centers in the pituitary. There was a dance we were doing, encoded into the books we wrote, into the manuscripts, into the ancient languages, into the buildings that we built. Now, what does that have to do with your symptomology? Why do you suffer? Well, I want to show you something. I want you to go and click on the full article on the School of Athens. So you're going to have to click on an article. This article is taken out of a wonderful book. So take a look at the book there, picture number 10. That's Dr. Baker, Douglas Baker, The Psychology of Discipleship. It has nothing to do with discipleship. What it has to do with are inquiries into the very nature of this problem I put before you today. How do you restore, invigorate, sustain, manifest your creative energy, your creative force? Is there a relationship to the fact that you have a symptom, that you have a disease, and that deep down inside your dreams never came true? You tell me. Because what are you spending money on herbs for? What are you spending money with doctors? What are you spending money trying to understand the natures of your symptomologies, which flushes you should do with most fundamentally, if we break it down. Sooner or later, you, in your sadness, in your grief, in your anger, in your internalized anger, in your fear, in your worry, in your anxiety, in your stress, in whatever you want to call it, in whatever degree of emotional, spiritual derangement you suffer from, at the bottom of your symptom lies this issue, blocked creative force. And what are you going to do about it? Do you understand the relationship between the two? The School of Athens did. The School of Athens reflects a perception of process. Now go back to this. Click on the School of Athens. Give yourself a moment to do that. Who are the super gifted? First page to the second page. As you're scrolling down, the third page, the fourth page, the fifth page. Historic examples. Now this is out of Baker's book, Psychology of Discipleship. Take a look at it. Historic examples. History has not always shown disregard for the super gifted. Let me just define that word for you so you don't exclude yourself. We're not talking about Albert Einstein. We're not talking about people who know how to memorize photographically texts of paper and spit them back to teachers. We're not talking about people with IQs of 170. We're talking about people who are intelligent, IQs of about 115 to 140. This is what we define the super gifted as. And even that's a loose definition. We're talking about consciousness. We're talking about people who can think outside the box. We are not talking about the clones. If you listen to the show, if you find yourself attracted to the show, if you find yourself thinking outside the box, if you find yourself truly critically analyzing your politicians on both sides of the fence, your doctors, your holistic doctors, your priests, your rabbis, your journalists, if you find yourself critically analyzing things and thinking for yourself, it represents a consciousness, a higher consciousness. And this is what Baker is calling the super gifted, because the super gifted, as history shows, are the ones who make the contributions. And as this page, so just focus on this page. In the days of earlier Greece, reading from the first paragraph, when the Delphic religion flourished, there had been some attempt at selecting and isolating certain children, gifted in a specialized way. Astrology was employed, among other techniques, to help in their selection. In the instance of Delphi, it was for the selection of children who had the inherent supernormal capacity for intuitive insight. Do you understand? Do you understand? This is simply reflective of a culture that's trying to take to the top of its class the child that can think for itself. Who at that time, even before the appearance of the Christ, sought. These are your early Christians, if you really want to break it down. Because had they met Christ, they would have followed. I have no doubt. These are the traditions that evolved pre-Christian. They were looking for answers by looking within to connect above. To have schools, to have institutions actually exalt the process is a very high culture. It's why we call it the Golden Age of Antiquity. 300 BC to 300 AD. Before really and truly the pagans took over and we descended into the Dark Ages, we were at the last 600 years of a high, high antiquity. It's the way historians look at it, all historians, regardless of religion, creed, race, or color. And there's a reason, because there was a focus on cultivating consciousness. We're coming into that today, 2014, and these next years bring us to that precipice once again. We are on the edge of another renaissance. This is why you just can't let medicine go, because there's something inherently wrong with it and something inherently promising by starting to think outside the box. And as this article goes on to say, children were selected. Their parents were told, your child has special insight, and it is up to us as custodians of the culture to evolve that. To evolve that in the name of creating more children to make higher contributions. Turn to picture number 16. Hypatia. Picture number 16. The famous Hypatia of Alexandria. Her death, her execution, in approximately 300 AD, represented the end of the Age of Antiquity. She was the curator, the custodian of the Library of Alexandria, burned to the ground so many times. Hopefully, some of the work there survives today. We know for a fact that much of what was recorded as far back as 4,000 BC, perhaps even longer than that, in the Library of Alexandria, in parchment, in scroll, but on paper, paper that didn't turn brown like a cheap paperback. This is papyrus. This is parchment. These are materials that resist oxidation. These are materials that you write on, scrolls, that resist the test of time, the oxidative forces of the natural time process. And Alexandria brought them together. Alexandria was the sanctor, the Mecca, and Hypatia was the curator, daughter of a mathematician, one of the first women's livers, no doubt. Hypatia of Alexandria. What was Alexandria trying to do? It was trying to explain to you that the exercise of medicine was to get you to feel your soul. That the exercise of medicine was to get you to feel your soul. If you don't have a real sense of that, if your time, your money, your energy, in the name of a health concern, is not bringing you closer to your soul and closer to a sense of where you're supposed to put the energy that your healing liberates, you will not heal. Do you know what the first thing that happens to people in that process? They begin to feel their emotion. They start to cry. They start to scream. They start to get crazy. They start to get volcanic. They start to challenge their relationships. Often they start to think they're getting worse. Often they call and say, I need to get rid of this. Why am I getting so emotional? I need to stuff it back down where a year or 2 years of all my cleansing and cleaning and stretching have brought me to. They just don't know what to do. I hear this at least twice a week. Twice a week. I would magnify that thousands of times. If you look at all the people in all the lands that spend all the time and energy and money trying to get to second base, try to get to the root of something, everyone comes back to the basic bottom line, the point at which they start to feel themselves expand. The point at which we wish they had the library at Alexandria. The point at which we really wish they were in the school for Athens. The point at which they have to find a way to understand the torrent of blocked creative force that's beginning to rise, sometimes rise violently, volcanically, in a way that scares them. And often they stuff it back down, and often they don't resolve it, and often they don't let it go. And then often they die. Often they stay sick. Often they give up. Often they begin to just spin and spin and spin and spin. I don't want this to be you. You don't want this to be you. But you have to have perspective here. You have to understand that sooner or later, this is going to happen if you've done your job. If you've done your job, your emotions are going to come up. If you've done your job, you're going to dislike your husband. You're going to dislike your wife. You're going to dislike your children. You're going to dislike your life. You're going to dislike your boss. You might even have rage. You're going to talk to your father. You're going to talk to your mother. You're going to want to check out. You may even want to kill yourself. And if you can't get that, you don't heal. Now there. After that, if you want to lie to yourself, click off the radio, turn off the computer, and go listen to another show. If you come to this website and you want to heal, those 150 or so shows are exercises to get you to your creative force. You have got to have that perception. Now, if you go in there and look at the cell, if you go in there and look at the cell, as you spend your hard-earned money on nutrition and herbs and supplements and this and that and the other thing, as you spend the money on that cell, if you're doing it correctly, if your consciousness is expanding, if you're starting to understand that your healing is an evolution, if you're starting to understand that your weight loss issues, rather your weight gain problems, or your low back pain, or your cancer, or your lupus, or your ulcerative colitis, or your Crohn's, or your life of misery, or whatever you're trying to understand. If you're understanding big picture, you're just looking to free it up. That's when you begin your healing. You have to take that deep and understand that from Reich to Rolf to Heller to Pilates to Vivekananda to everybody that has ever, all the way back to the beginning of recorded time, asked you to come to communion in the direction of a better life for yourself, for your children, for your loved ones. They're asking you to understand that your symptom is an exercise. It's a clue that you need to find a more righteous path. Now, the specifics of that process is a journey. But against 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, how could you listen to a media, a Park Avenue nutrition allopathic venia that promises you results with a single herb? How? And yet you do. I know you do. Do not deny that you do. You may say you don't, but you do. And even if you don't, the process in which you navigate yourself, I'm not saying it's your fault. I'm saying you have to understand that other systems of medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, Chinese medicine, have asked you, that Hans Selye has asked you to navigate yourself with respect to your physical experience of an electrical field in the body. They call it prana or chi. I find those words the best we can do in Western civilization to give people an understanding of how you know your cells are beginning to organize those herbs that you spend your hard-earned money on. I'm asking you to understand that the lifestyle changes, the deep fabric in which these changes integrate, must be done in forum. And I'm asking you to realize these forums, from the Library of Alexandria to the School of Athens, these have been provided to us over the centuries, time and time and time again. And always, when we had our act together, when the culture had its act together, always we were at the golden age of the culture. And always, when our institutions became nothing more than prisons, whether it was our churches, whether it was our political systems, regardless, when our institutions became institutions of fear, institutions of suppression, institutions of dogma, institutions that did not encourage creative thought, you saw illness. Illness from the bone to the skin. What are you going to do about that? If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get to the website when you can, straighttalk.cc. This is a movie depicting Hypatia. I prefer to think of her something like this. Look at picture number 17. The curator of the Library of Alexandria. Picture number 18. Reserve your right to think, for even to think wrongly is better than not to think at all. Are we thinking? We like to say we are, but really, it's about 9 to 5 and paying the rent. Now, come on. Things have to have a priority. I got places to go, things to do, people to see. I got to get it done. And I really can't think about things on a larger level because I'm kind of got my stuff to take care of. We are getting to the point where that isn't going to work anymore. I don't want to get into economics and I don't want to get into politics. It's not really my place and my forte. But there will come a time soon when Russia and China and many other countries turn our back on the American dollar. And what are we going to do then? You're looking at the birth of democracy. Alexandria and the golden age of Greece asked why people should live in servitude and looked to the knowledge and education, and like Hypatia is saying, a culture that creates a thinking individual is a culture that will have democracy. We have a beautiful thing in this country where people can come from anywhere and begin to commune with each other. Now, as it relates to medicine, the focal thrust of this show, you have got to start thinking outside of the box. And we're not doing enough. This is why I do the show. This is why I have my school. There's Carl Sagan. Remember Carl Sagan? He wanted you to think about astronomy. There's thinking outside the box. Picture number 21. Cosmos. Broca's brain. The famous Carl Sagan. A scholar of high credential, a man who asked you to think outside the box. This talk he's giving is on the Library of Alexandria. There is a reason Carl Sagan knew much about the Library of Alexandria. Look at Robert Assagioli. Take a look at that picture. There's picture number 23. Assagioli. He was a medical doctor at about the time of Freud. For those of you who have been on antidepressants or are on antidepressants or know people in your family on antidepressants, for those of you who have been to psychologists, to psychiatrists, to counselors, I want you to get an understanding of what Assagioli thought about your disease, your illness. And look at picture number 22. Bring up picture number 22, if you possibly can. Picture number 22. Sorry if you have to squint to see this one. I'll just read it to you. I'm only going to read from the first paragraph. I want you to get this. Those of you who have been on antidepressants, those of you who deal with enormous emotional pain, and I know you do, we need to just get this out of the bag here. This is a joke. What are you doing? Why do you listen to nutrition shows when this is at the base of it? And I'm not pointing a finger. Please don't misunderstand. But I live, eat, and sleep this every day. Doctor, doctor, I've got this symptom. I've got this problem. My spasms in my esophagus, my low back pain, my foot pain, my IBS. My this, my that, my the other thing, my headaches, they're back, and why? And if you go back and go back and you listen and you sit there and you ask them and you talk to them and you navigate with them, what do you find? You find the last month, the last 6 weeks, the last day, they have been traumatized. They are simply living in a pattern that they continue to repeat and then stuff down their throat beneath their conscious mind and then wonder when their soul rises up and sends them an arrow right to their pain sensors. Yeah, that is you. And you've thought about that. You've thought about your spirit. You've thought about your emotions. You understand your emotions, your fears, your anxieties, your tensions, your betrayals, your sadnesses. You've been to your shrinks. You've been to your priests. You pray to God. Some of you have done antidepressants because you had to. Listen to what Assagioli, no doubt a derivative of the School of Athens, no doubt a derivative of the Library of Alexandria. Didn't you just look at his face? Listen to what he says. Robert Assagioli disagreed with Jung's position. As early as 1910, he began to formulate. 1910. Didn't you hear this holistic stuff is new? I just said 1910. I could have said 1810. I could have said 1710. I could have said 1510. I could have said 1010. I could have said 510. I could have said 500 BC. I could have said 1000 BC. I could have said 2000 BC, 3000 BC, 4000 BC, 5000 BC. As far back as you care to believe recorded time existed. I could have said that far. And what you need to understand is this thing we call alternative medicine is nothing new, nothing at all. There isn't a thing I've heard, said, breathed that's new. It's the same theme in different scripts. And all we're trying to do, myself included, is trying to get you to understand a deeper understanding. Can we get you closer to the theme with a different script? You have to think, you the consumer, you that listen, you that care about your health, you that listen to this show, you that listen to Dr. Marshall's show, you that listen to Mercola's show, you that get Schultz's newsletter, you that listen to all the YouTubes, you that go to the David Wolf anti-aging seminar down in Anaheim, you that listen to him, you that accumulate your books. Do you understand these are scripts to get you to understand much deeper themes? And to understand that there's a spiritual connection to your kneeling, to your healing, is not to sit there and smile complacently and nod that this is such a groovy little chat about it. It's to understand that what this is going to mean, if you do understand, is that you are going to work, work, and work. This is not table talk. Because you will hit 60, and you will hit 70, and you will hit 80, and you will leave and transform, yes, to a better place. But listen, I've seen enough people die. I promise more people die than you've seen. If you get involved as a doctor, you see people die. And I'm telling you, they act like they're happy in a sense, and they act like they're at peace, but underneath it, there is a lot of regret. When you haven't learned the lessons you've come here to learn. After that, it's in God's hands. But I will tell you this. It is a better way to go feeling that you have come here and given service in the fullest sense of what God gave you to give service with. And where you fail is where you have a symptom. And where you fail is where you have disease. You get that straight, you get to go to third base. If not, you'll be spinning on second the rest of your day. Now, Assagioli was another one. He tried to tell you that for as much as we're going to talk about psychoanalysis and Freud and Jung and psychology and your MFCC and your MA and your guidance counselors and your high school counselors and all the wonderful things that we have, forums we have to express our feelings and our emotions. He's basically saying that the people running this ship, yeah, that's right, the psychologists now who are just as quick to prescribe Prozac as the shrinks. Assagioli is saying psychoanalysis focuses exclusively on the basement of human nature. Our conflicting drives, our sexual repressions, our primitive urges, and reduces authentic spiritual and religious yearnings to neurotic infantile impulses. Assagioli, at the time of Freud, when sitting down and talking to somebody outside of a priest, because back then you didn't talk to anybody. Today, many people don't talk to anybody. You confess it in church, you tell it to your reverend, after that it's hush, 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 because it usually means you're guilty or in fear about some form of a sin you don't want to burn in hell. So you act like it doesn't happen. And now that we're liberated in the year 2014, we talk about it. But we talked about it, as Asagiola is saying in 1910, to people who are focusing on the basement of our nature. In other words, how many of you, how many, would you do that? You're not going to win a prize for this. Say thank you to me for this show. How many of you have found yourself speaking to shrinks who are basically fundamentally calling your spiritual ambition, your authentic spiritual and religious yearning, your need to feel fulfilled through your act of service, and your temper tantrum at what gets in your way? How many of you have had that strong ambition reduced to an infantile impulse? It means that you got angry at work, not because your creative energy was blocked, not because your creative force, your brilliance, your sense of achievement, your sense of righteousness was deterred. It wasn't that. It's just that you wanted to be glorified because daddy and mommy rained on your parade, that somebody stole your thunder when you were a little boy or girl, and all you're doing is projecting this into the workplace, into the relationship. How many of you have been told that in the name of psychotherapy and good guidance before then, after your shrink or psychologist threw up their arms, were given antidepressants or anti-anxiety pills? How many of you have been given that perspective, that faulty sycophantic perspective, that armchair psychology? This is what Asagiola is saying he sees emerging out of Freudian analysis in 1910. Do you understand that the School of Athens provided you the Library of Alexandria, psychosynthesis, provided you a perspective? Do you know something? Your healing is a blessing because it asks you to find your own perspective to liberate your creative force. Now, Reich came along. Reich, turn to number picture 29. Turn to picture 29, Reich. Wilhelm Reich came along. Turn to picture number 30, Reich in the later years. Turn to picture number 32, the cancer biopathy. The cancer biopathy by Reich. Reich was trying to tell you what Cialé was trying to tell you. That if, in fact, your creative force was blocked, if you could not feel your prana, if you could not feel your chi, if you gave up, functionally speaking, in reality, the possibility that before you passed to the heavens, you would have a halo around your head. If you gave up that journey, if you depressed your magnetic field, if the demons collapsed you, if your neurosis overwhelmed you, if your imprints from your parents, from your ex-lovers, from your children, from your betrayals, from the variety of psychological, spiritual, and emotional maladies you have succumbed to depressed you enough, you would manifest disease. That is what Reich gave his life to. And there he is, in his Middle Ages, before he passed, in jail, as many of these people. Hypatia was executed. Plato, Aristotle, Socrates, they all suffered derangements. Asagiola escaped. Freud escaped. Einstein escaped. The Nazis would have burned Einstein to a crisp. Tesla barely escaped. Anybody that has come to you to ask you to think creatively has suffered in varying degrees. Less in the Golden Age, more. What do you think Mao's Cultural Revolution was? What do you think is going on as Putin invades the East? As Putin invades Eastern Europe? The cancer biopathy by Reich. Your symptom, your disease. Look at picture 33, core energetics. That's John Perakos. He was a protege of Reich. Look at picture 34. That is John Perakos. See if you can just take a look. Look at picture number 36. This is out of Core Energetics. He's trying to explain the psycho-spiritual basis, like Reich did, for disease. And look at that first paragraph. The medicine for the pain, then, is to feel the pleasure. But this is difficult. Even if the pleasure is there, people cannot avail themselves of it because they do not believe they deserve it. Do you understand that? You who suffer, you suffer because at the base of it, you stay attached to frames of reference, to ways of approaching yourself, your world, your relationships that depress your field. And we can all talk about how we pray, and we can go to all the seminars we want. But the bottom line is this, the cell, your cell in deficiency, your cell in oxidative disease, your cell in terminal disease, doesn't care about all your seminars. It doesn't care about all your prayer. It only cares about the prayer you do. It changes the magnetic field. Your prayer has to go to your bone. Your seminar has to go to your bone. Your hyperbole has to cut through the flesh of you to the marrow of your bone. And I'm telling you, from the School of Athens to whatever went on in Pythagoras' day, to the high temples, to the high churches, and to the high centers of the present-day culture, always we use the word electrical field. I don't care if you call it prana or chi or the halo around your head. It doesn't matter. As a scientist, I tell you, I submit to you, I ask you to make up your own mind that all everyone is trying to say fundamentally is to feel the flow inside your body. And if that's just empty words to you, you will go nowhere. Tesla, our virtues and our feelings, our virtues and our failings are inseparable, like force and matter. Our virtues and our failings, when they separate, man is no more. He's talking about how to navigate. Tesla, picture number 38, my brain is only a receiver in the universe. There is a core from which we obtain knowledge, strength, and inspiration. I have not penetrated into the secrets of this core, but I know that it exists. Listen to this man talk. Look up the name Tesla if you haven't. His name will reign supreme every year for the next how many hundred years? Nikola Tesla. He's telling you something. He's telling you that he's simply a transmitter. He's telling you that what he made is contribution, and his contributions were second to none, probably in the history of mankind. He's telling you that it's about connecting to something high and staying out of the bean counters. He's telling you, picture number 40, that today's scientists have substituted mathematics for experiments, and they wander off through equation after equation, and eventually build a structure which is no relation to reality. Listen to that. Now go back. Go back to Hypatia. Go back to Hypatia. Go back. Go back to 18, picture 18. Reserve your right to think, for even to think wrongly is better than to think not at all. Hypatia of Alexandria. That's 300 B.C., Tesla is talking when? He's talking somewhere in the early 1900s. Aren't they saying the same thing? But what does that mean to you? Tomorrow you go to church, you spend an afternoon with the kids, and then you start your thing again. But underneath it, if you have a symptom, we'll reserve the focal head, the spearhead of this hour today for you with the symptom. Or the chronic illness, or the terminal illness. Understand that those 150 shows I give to you as exercises to your soul. And I ask you to feel, to look, to calm yourself, to stop, to eliminate this fear, this anxiety, the rest of this misdirection that you're just not doing the right thing. That somehow it's not going to happen for you. That it's some big, terribly complicated process when it really isn't. Take a pot, and every time you do something good for yourself, throw that good piece of gift, that gift you do for yourself, into a pot. And forget it. Shut off your mind. It's the devil. Keep going. And listen to God. Listen to your soul. Teach you, tell you, give you the signs. If you cannot see the signs, you will not heal. The 150 shows I give to you. So if this is the first time on this website, you get to these shows, starting with this one that I give to you. And you understand that if you take these shows into the marrow of your bone and relax behind your journey, you will feel the light. You will feel the light within you begin to shine. And you will understand the context in which you have suffered. You do not pass second base if you do not take this into yourself. Really, your healing, look at picture number 41. Your healing is really just a search for the miraculous. Ouspensky's great book, written in the early 1900s before Russia fell, out of St. Petersburg. St. Petersburg, one of the most beautiful cities to date. St. Petersburg was the new version of the Library of Alexandria. It was designed like Berkeley on our West Coast, like Stony Brook on our East Coast. It was designed to ask people to understand that there's a higher part of self, and that if the world came together to join hands in the higher part of self, we could do things and celebrate the experience of God, not the rhetoric of God, but the experience of God. Look at the world. You look at the world while you're busy, while you're rushing to work, while you're worried about your money and your kids and your college education, while you're worried about you. Look at the world and ask yourself, haven't we been here before? Haven't we been at a precipice? And ask yourself, looking at Russia invading Eastern Europe, ask yourself if we're not just repeating a time when we simply had to make this connection once again. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. I have one space left for my class tomorrow. Come. God bless you. Hear this show again. Those of you who are new to the site, the show is for you. Just click on the homepage and listen once again. I'm signing off. You guys have a great week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.